When a crisis hits, a loss of a job, a health emergency, the sudden death of a loved one, the truth of Scripture can be a rock of security. But what about extended trials? How does Scripture help you make sense out of ongoing challenges? We'll take a biblical look at the purpose of trials on today's Grace to You Weekend. If anyone understands serious trials, it's families of soldiers fighting overseas, not only because of possibly losing their loved one in combat, but because of the ongoing struggle of being separated month after month, year after year. Well, you might not be in the military, a military family, but you and everyone faces struggles uniquely your own. Maybe you're dealing with finances that come up short, a medical condition that keeps you from resting comfortably, or a tense environment in your home or workplace because of your faith in Christ. No matter what you're facing, know this, that God's Word can sustain you like nothing else can. Stay with us for today's Grace to You Weekend as John MacArthur shows you what Scripture says about the purpose of trials. Here he is with today's message.
In the most profound of human agony, for the Christian, there is great hope. There is triumph. No matter how deep the trouble. It's all a question of perspective. Going through any trial of life for a Christian can be a joyous experience if perspective is right. Now imagine for yourself the worst trial you could possibly face. Maybe for some people it might seem to be financial crisis. All your investments are lost. Your life savings. For other people, it might be the loss of employment. You're fired. You have no income to support your family. You lose all your dignity. Or the announcement from the doctor that you have just received word that you're going to have a triple bypass immediately. Or that you have a massive brain tumor. Or your husband does. Or your son does. Or the word has just come over the telephone that your daughter has had a terrible car accident and has died. Or been raped. Or your wife has been murdered by a drug addict who broke into the house. Or maybe that your child has a fatal disease and only a few days to live. And we could go on and on and on. And frankly, folks, all of those things touch us one way or another, don't they? Because, as Job put it, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. And anybody who tries to create a fantasy world where everything is perfect is only setting themselves up for even a more profound sorrow. I was trying to think this week as I sat in my study of what to me would be the severest trial of all trials, the most painful experience to go through. And I thought about the classic Job who lost his family and his crops and his animals and everything. And I thought about that for a while, lost all his possessions, lost all his children. And worse, he was left with a wife who didn't understand anything. He was personally struck with disease, and that is admittedly a heavy-duty trial. But as I thought about it more, I thought of another person who in my judgment, and you may or may not agree with me, but who in my judgment probably was faced with potentially the severest trial any human being could ever endure. And the man's name is Abraham. Turn with me for a moment back to Genesis 22. I think what God put Abraham through is unquestionably the most unimaginable test that anyone was ever given. In Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass, after these things, that God did test Abraham." This is a parasmos, folks. This is a trial for Abraham. This is a test for Abraham. He was faced with the severest trial that is imaginable. God did test Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, He said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now your son." Notice the emphasis. "Your only Isaac, whom you love." Almost as if God is rubbing it in. Not just your son, but your only son. Not just your only son, but the one you love. "And go into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you about." It's incredible. "I want a sacrifice out of you, and I want a human sacrifice. I want your son. I want you to go there. I want you to kill him as an offering to me." This did not fit Abraham's theology. There was no history in the covenant of God of human sacrifice. That was a pagan thing. No child of God would ever offer his own in human sacrifice. Furthermore, this was the son of promise. God had touched the dead loins of Abraham and allowed him to bring to a consummation a relationship with his wife Sarah, who was also dry in her own loins, and produce a son of the covenant, a son of promise, a son of hope, a son of Sarah, who was barren all her life. Why would God call for human sacrifice when he never had called for human sacrifice before? And to do so would be the antithesis of everything Abraham knew to be true about God. Why would God go to great lengths to enable a man and a woman nearing 100 years of age who'd been barren all their life to produce a son, then ask the son be killed? Why would God make a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of nations and the seed that would come out of his loins would number as the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven, and then kill the only child he had? The whole idea was absolutely bizarre. All hope of progeny in old Abraham would die. All hope of promise would die. Abraham would be killing his love, killing God's promises, striking a blow at God's word, striking a blow at the character of God, striking a blow at the covenant faithfulness of God, killing the promise of God and cutting off the line of Messiah. Absolutely inconceivable. And what makes it the severest trial ever is not that Isaac was to die, but that Abraham was to kill him with his own hand. Incredible. It's one thing to have the one you love die. It's something else to be told to kill that person. An unthinkable trial. A trial that made sense no way, not theologically, not in terms of the nature of God, not in terms of the plan of redemption, not in terms of God's word, not in terms of his love or of Abraham's love for Isaac. If there ever was anything that God commanded a man to do that deserved a rather lengthy argument, this was it. And we would have understood if Abraham had said, "Look, God, could you explain this, please? This makes no sense. I can't do it." Notice his response. Verse 3. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son." What? In the morning, he got ready to leave, to go. And he cut the wood. He had to cut his own wood to put his son on to burn him to death. And he rose up and he went to the place which God told him to go. So, amazing man. Absolutely amazing man. No questioning, no delay, no argument, no dispute, no reaction. 3 days later, verse 4, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, he had some people going along with him, "Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." Watch this one. "And come again to you." You got to underline that. "I and the lad will go and worship, and we'll be back." Here's the secret. Keep that in mind. He said, "We'll both come back." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Oh my, this is agonizing. A trusting son who doesn't know what's going on says in such a loving way and gently to his father about this act of worship, where is the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And you ought to underline that. You see, I believe down deep in Abraham's heart, he knew God had something in mind that was consistent with God's character and consistent with God's covenant. I don't know that he knew what it was specifically, but I think he had a good idea. And they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there. He had to build the altar, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac, his son. No struggle on Isaac's part either. Tied him up, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. You can stop at that point. Unbelievable. Do you understand by reading that story what it means when it says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness? Do you understand why the New Testament says that Abraham is the father of the faithful? He is the greatest single model of trust in God the Bible knows anything about apart from Christ. The man is at the point of plunging the knife into the breast of his own son. An unthinkable thing. What a trial. Contradictory, indescribable, painful, murderous, inconsistent with everything he knew about God. And yet he is submissive, he is obedient, he will worship at any cost. And God took Abraham's willingness for performance. God judged him on his willingness and didn't make him carry out the act. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not your hand on the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God. Guess what? This was a test, and Abraham what? Passed. He passed. He would obey the word of God no matter what. You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, Abraham shows us that we might be tested in things very near to us. We might be tested in things very dear to us, like a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or a friend. We may have to offer up our own Isaac, give the ones we love most over to the Lord, not only in death, but maybe in life, maybe by letting them go the way that God wants them to go, not necessarily the way we want them to go. You see, when Abraham was willing to give up Isaac, no matter how much Isaac meant to him in every way, he showed by being willing to give him up, watch this, that he had the right to keep him. See that? He wasn't possessive. He would release him to God's will. Why? Because he would do anything God asked him to do. Now, we all have a lot of trials in life, but I can't ever imagine a trial like that. I can't imagine what I would do if God told me to do that. I can't imagine what I would go through. But I think we can conclude from this that the more excellent or the more difficult the obedience, the more excellent the obedience. And the more difficult the obedience, the more self-denial is inherent in it. So here you have an obedience that takes tremendous self-denial and therefore is the most excellent. Abraham passed the test. He says, now I know you fear God. In other words, you truly reverence God at any cost. What a trial. The commentary on this trial of Abraham is given in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Would you look there for just a moment? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. How did Abraham do this? How could he bring himself to this? Hebrews 11, 17 tells us very clearly. The first two words of verse 17 tell the whole story. By what? Faith. Abraham, and here it comes again, you ought to underline it, when he was tested. This was a test. I think about that on the radio. The other day I was driving in to the church and the little beep came on and said, this is a test. And I thought about Abraham. God was saying, beep, this is a test. Beep, the test has just been concluded. This is a test. And when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. How could he do that? Here it comes. Here's the key. Verse 19. Accounting or taking note of the fact that God was able to raise him up even from what? The dead. You know why he was willing to do that? Because he believed God could raise the dead. Had he ever seen the dead raised? Not to my knowledge. But he believed God could raise the dead. What he really believed was this, that God was so true to his word that if he made a promise, he would even raise the dead to keep it. Tremendous faith. Now, I don't want to read too much into the story, but it just may be that Abraham was a little disappointed when he wasn't allowed to take his son's life because he would like to have seen a resurrection. We don't know that. But he believed, if need be, God would raise him from the dead. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that a man can go through the severest imaginable trial of life if he really trusts God. And if he believes that God is on the throne, that God will keep his promise, that God never makes mistakes, that God always fulfills his word, and that God will accomplish his purposes. It is that kind of faith that passes the test. When Abraham was put through the parasmos, when he was tried or tested, he passed. And I say again, is it any wonder that this man is the single greatest human model of faith? In Galatians 3, verse 7, know ye therefore that they who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Anybody who lives by faith in God is, in a spiritual sense, a son of Abraham. He is the father of the faithful. He is the model of faith. Verse 9 says, they who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. He knew that through his loins, the nations of the world would be blessed, and he knew God kept his word, and God would bring it to pass. Now, beloved, we have to realize that God is going to allow us to go through tests. And the thing that sustains us in the midst of that is our trust in God, our faith that God is working all things out for his own holy purpose. I know we dream of worldly ease and we like to create a perfect environment. We want to have absolute comfort. We want to get all the rough spots out of life. We want to make sure everything is perfectly settled. Frankly, I've never known such a moment in my life. Every once in a while, I think there's one there and I find out there isn't. But the fact that we have temporary rest and temporary ease sort of fools us into thinking we might find a permanent exemption when that is not the case. I remember the words of the psalmist. You remember Psalm 30, verse 6? He said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Implied, but I was wrong. When I was fat, I thought it would always be like this. And you can live in a fool's paradise if you want, never forecasting any trouble, promising yourself ease. But that isn't what Christ said. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into parasmos, trials. Watch, look for trials. Pray, ask for strength. Watch and pray.
That's John MacArthur, president of the Master's College and Seminary and the featured teacher here on Grace to You Weekend. The title of his lesson, The Purpose of Trials. John, you know, as you spoke today about the bleak prognosis the doctors gave your son Mark a while back, I imagine some listeners may have been surprised by that. In fact, some might assume that because you study the Bible and teach it so much that you're not bothered by times of testings as other Christians are.
Oh, I live in the same world everybody lives in, and I'm a fallen person, and all the people around me are fallen, and so all that goes wrong in the world goes wrong also in my world and in my life. But I have an anchor. I literally live on the rock. And for me, that anchor and that rock is what I know to be true about God. I have spent so many years studying the Word of God and coming to the fullest knowledge of God that I don't question God. I don't question His wisdom. I don't question His power. I don't question His purpose. I don't question His love or His affection for me or the people in my world. The only question I ever ask is, God, what is your purpose in this? What is your will? I don't deserve anything other than suffering. None of us deserves anything other than suffering. I just want to know the purpose. I just want to know the reason. And when Mark was diagnosed with a brain tumor and the doctor told me this could kill him, my immediate thought was, what are you doing, Lord? What's your purpose? What are you trying to accomplish? I know He loves you. I know He serves you. I know He wants to live His life for you. Show me your purpose. And I went from there to, Lord, it's normal and natural for me to pray for his physical well-being, to pray that you would spare his life so that he could serve you. And those were the things on my mind. God was gracious. God spared his life. The tumor was not terminal. And to this day, he continues to serve the Lord. But the questions in my mind were, Lord, what is your purpose? And would you be gracious? I pled in my prayers to spare his life if it would be for your glory. I think those are the things that you can pray for when you stand on the rock of confidence in God's purpose and God's power.
And friend, it's that trust that John just described that allows you to understand trials. With that said, to help you trust Christ in the difficulties you face, let me recommend John's study called Making Sense Out of Suffering. Get your copy today. Remember, you can download the MP3s for free at our website, gty.org. In fact, all 3,000 of John's messages from his 40 years of teaching God's Word are free at gty.org. Now, if you'd like Making Sense Out of Suffering on CD, that too is available online. The cost is reasonable. You can place your order by calling the toll-free number. If you don't want to go online, it's 1-800-55-GRACE. Remember, you can reach our customer service team weekdays between 7:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. West Coast time, or use the easy-to-use voicemail box system at any other hour of the day. Again, call 1-800-55-GRACE or go to gty.org. and get this study, Making Sense Out of Suffering, on MP3 or CD. And finally, if you're benefiting from this current study or one of the recent series, would you let us know? This is your opportunity to pass along feedback to help program planning and to express your support for this Bible teaching, listener-funded broadcast. Thanks in advance for your encouragement. The address here is Grace to You Weekend, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or if you're using email, address letters@gty.org. For John MacArthur, thanks for tuning in today. Don't miss Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378 or watch it online anytime at gty.org. And then join us right here next week as John continues unleashing God's truth one verse at a time on Grace to You Weekend.